Discussion.
I be on it all night, man. I be on it all day. Straight up pimp. If you want me, you can find me in the.
What are you looking at me like that for?
What you talking about? We're supposed to make eye contact.
It's the Midday Show with
Andy Barker and my son, my baby boy, Randy McMichael.
When I crack open this mic.
That was the most media member thing that's ever been said.
Starring Randy Montez McMichael as Randy and my firstborn. Stephen Bunker as Andy.
You can't say Randy without saying Andy. It's the Andy and Randy Midday Show.
Boring answer.
Just make sure you don't touch that dial, then we'll be cool. Touch it and use the fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah. Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The Midday Show with Andy and Randy with you here on a hump
day.
Also the first day
hump
of Falcons training camp. We are at Flower Branch. We're in the Ticketmaster Studios, our home away from home for the next month or so, as we're going to bring you as much Falcons preseason training camp coverage as we possibly can. Today is arrival day. Guys are showing up. We see a lot of these guys walking around doing media, all the preseason stuff, and we're here as well. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? Yeah, all good. As it is officially football season as far as, you know, when you show up here, everybody's 0-0. You know, there's still the expectations and hope of all as you get ready for another, which I think should be a fun, successful season for the Falcons. I mean, it's hard to.
What would success be,
playoffs.
Randy? Yeah.
Playoffs.
I agree.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's what I anticipated as you look at the transactions that they've made this offseason.
That's the expectation.
Right, and especially in the main position at the quarterback position. And so you look at that part of it and you think that, you know, the expectations for winning this division should not be that hard. I mean, it's all year is always funny. You never know. But winning this division, and I get an opportunity to play a home playoff game and see where you go from there. But right now, you just got to figure out what are your identity of your team. This is when it's always formed in training camp. There's always a couple things you always look out for as far as who's that undrafted rookie free agent that's going to make the team, that's turning heads, because it's always different when you get in these pads. And you know, the fact that, you know, no injuries, and then who's going to play in the preseason, how much of these joint practices and all these things going to count as far as how you view playing your starters and your veterans in preseason.
Yeah, I mean, look, all that kind of stuff is going to play itself out over the next month or so, 6 weeks before the season actually gets here. And it'll be fun. It'll be fun to be here and see it and get a chance to talk to those guys and get a chance to watch the practices and, you know, whoever that undrafted rookie is that pops and everybody's starting to talk about, or maybe there's a second or third year guy that has come back and just looks a little different physically, happens from time to time. Maybe somebody took their offseason training program a little bit more seriously or whatever.
Right.
And all that stuff, we're really looking forward to being able to be here for, to see, to experience, to bring to you, and all of that fun stuff for sure. Because it is that. I mean, like you said, I mean, it is an expectation of, with all of the money that you have spent, especially on offense.
Right.
We talked about it last week, the fifth highest payroll in terms of the NFL on the offensive side of the football. I think there's plenty of questions on defense as well. Hopefully we'll get some of that stuff answered over the next month or so. And hopefully some of these guys that have already been here are going to take giant steps to the next level and maybe have us worried less about the offseason acquisitions or the draft or whatever, that they didn't really address some of the defense.
Right.
But I think you come in here and you start talking about expectations and where you feel confident that this team is going to be talented, it's got to start on offense.
Yeah.
I mean, they did everything they could to change what was, which was, well, hopefully we can get the most out of this sort of diamond in the rough potential quarterback.
Right.
No, we're not doing that anymore. We're going to go with a known. We're going to spend money. We're also going to draft a guy. We're going to put an offensive line around him that I think is the third or fourth highest paid offensive line in the NFL.
Right.
We're going to draft skill position players around him. We're going to go out in free agency and sign another receiver. We're going to do everything we can to try to make the life of the quarterback easier, and also have a quarterback who can make the lives of those around him easier as well.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a different philosophical approach than it was the last couple of years.
Yeah, man.
Which is nice. It's one that tends to work in the NFL as opposed to one which sometimes works, but you have to get very lucky in order for it to.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's all about it. When you say different year, we know there's five in and five out always at the end of the season, Buck.
Yep.
And you just want your team, if it wasn't one of those five that were in, you want them to be one of those five that was out, you want them to be in. And so, you know, when you start this process, you know, today is always you know, it's always, as a player, the report date is always a special time because you get an opportunity to go and achieve a goal and everything. And you know, even as an old veteran, you're cool. Report is just everything afterward. Like, this is the longest day because of the fact there's no football being played. I don't know if they still do running conditioning tests and all those different things, but that's usually the second day afterward. But today is all like a meetings and logistics about stuff. You know where the damn bathroom is. You know what to do in the hot tub, all these other things.
Everything's new, though.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Even vets, this whole building is renovated.
And so they do all those type of things on the first report date and everything. And then usually tomorrow you have your conditioning test.
What's that look like?
Well, it just depends. Like,
what was yours?
Mine, like we did, it was with Nick Saban, it was 20-40s. But it was a 10 interval. When you had to, my group, we had to do it, making it 5 seconds.
Okay.
All right. And then
how much time between each?
45 seconds.
Okay. And so you run a 40 in 5 seconds. Yes. You wait 45 seconds. Yes. You run another one, and you do that 20 times.
Yes. And then we had,
so you ran 20 40s in the span of however long that would be, 15 minutes.
Yes.
Faster than most people have ever run 140.
Yeah, man.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Then,
not Abe. Abe could run a 40 in under 5 seconds.
It was
I'm sure.
21 tens one time. The gassers are the one. No, the gassers. 16 seconds over and back.
Okay.
You know, you got like maybe 20 of those. But the worst is the 300-yard shuttle. That's the worst one, especially when you used to do it like in Miami. I mean, sorry, in St. Louis, because it was 25 and back. But the regular, the other ones used to be 50 back, 100 back, or something like that. But yeah, in St. Louis, it was that quick turnaround.
You got to cut way more.
Yeah, dog. Oh. Yeah, man.
Stop and start.
Yeah, the 300-yard shuttle is the worst one.
Especially if it's chunked down into 25-yard chunks.
Without a doubt, dog.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, you want just as a test, if you're going to the gym today, do a little conditioning test?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, do a little conditioning test.
The thing about it is
do 20 40-yard dashes.
You don't go out there until you pass it.
Right, you have to do it.
Yeah.
You have to do it. What if you don't? Like, some people don't, right?
And
like,
then they will run it until they do it. Like, I've had the funniest question. I have my young tight end in St. Louis didn't pass it, right?
Yeah.
And so 5 o'clock the next day, he had to get up and run it
and do it.
Yeah, and do it, and then pass it, and then next day he finally got it. But them 300-yard shuttles ain't no joke, bro.
No, that's half mental.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
man.
All right. So last year, I don't know if it was the first day. I don't know if it was the first day of training camp. Maybe it was something we said throughout training camp. But one of the things we kind of joked about it, but it was also true that. Up until that point, the Falcons had literally spent 0 days above 500 since you and I had been doing the show.
Right.
Right. So we said, okay, goal for the season, spend some weeks above 500. Right. I don't think we were specific enough because they did that.
Yeah.
They did that. They spent 5 different weeks above 500 last year. We got to do better than that this year, right? Multiple games above 500, because that's something they haven't done. How about finish the season above 500?
Okay.
Right?
I mean, yeah.
Because you got to do that if you're going to make the playoffs.
Exactly.
So just like, I don't, unfortunately, you know, because we obviously control it based on what we ask for, they go out and do.
Right.
So we weren't specific enough.
Uh-huh.
End of the season be above 500.
Okay.
How about double digit wins?
How about we do that?
How about
they get double digit wins?
You get 10 wins, you're going to playoffs.
Yes, I think so. You get 9 in this division, you're probably going to
play. Yeah, but let's do double digit. Don't let them get away with that.
Let's shoot for 10 right there and see where it goes from there, man. But yeah, it should be one of those things. And I'll tell you what, it was so different getting here today, especially obviously from walking from the damn parking lot, but not seeing the fans here. I mean, that was always the one thing that you always love when
it's
you
different.
Pull up today and the fans will be out here and everything, but not today, tomorrow, because all they're doing today is reporting. But I mean,
yeah. But your point remains.
But yeah, just not having these fans.
It was easier to find parking.
It was. It really was. But it was bittersweet not to see them up here today. But yeah, I mean, this is, you know, as you go for the ultimate goal, which is the Super Bowl. This is the first step, man. This is the first step of many steps, and that's always the thing about it. It's still a long way to go. You know, but it's here. And I think that's the one thing that as a former player or a player, whatever you want to call it, that's the first thing you look forward to, is that it's here. You know, who was on our show said nut cutting time? That's what it is.
Yeah, Andrea Kramer.
Yeah, that's what it
Pro
is.
Pro Football Hall of Famer, Andrea Kramer.
That's what it is.
Getting vulgar on the program. Yeah,
thanks. Exactly what it is.
Thanks, Professor Kramer. Vulgar. So you played on a bunch of different teams, right?
Yep.
I have to feel like, I don't know. I guess this is the question, is like the outside opinion of all of those teams was probably varied, right?
Yeah.
The media was like, oh, this team could be this or this team could be that.
Right.
Is the inside opinion always, because you played on teams that went 1-15. You played on teams that had the number one offense in the NFL. So
right.
Like, do you know? Like when you come in, do you know? And if you know, do you lie to yourself?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, you have to.
Right?
Yes, you have to, yeah. And everything like that. But I think the biggest thing is once you go against another opponent, like in practice, you can never really be like, you can always tell an individual who ain't, but then you go against, like, the hardest thing about in Miami was our defense was so damn good.
Right.
You know, and so when we did positive things, you were like, well, hell, we can do that against this defense.
Right.
We can do it against anybody.
Right.
But there's times I always remember in St. Louis, man, my second year, I was like, oh, man. Because it was like we were up there, and Jack went there. He was holding out, and we were up there carving them up. Defense was playing well. And, hell, we flew down to damn Tennessee for practice, and they kicked our ass up and down to practice. So, now, no, it was like 70 degrees because that's when we practiced up in Wisconsin. And we got down there, it was 113 degrees, and so everybody's about to fall out.
Was that a good Titans team?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Well, the thing with Titans, they were always good. They were always solid.
Yeah.
They were always a solid football team. I mean – you know, they had the king of 79s, but they were a physical football team.
Yeah.
They had the king of 79.
Oh, man. It's the first day of training camp. By the way, for folks that aren't, obviously, practice is not going to be open for training camp. There's a couple opportunities to see the team, though. The first one is this Saturday, 6 p.m. at Second Year High School in Buford. It's a part of the NFL's Training Camp Back Together weekend. Walk-up entry will begin with gates opening at 5 p.m. until capacity is reached. So if you're missing Falcons Training Camp and you want to be here, you can check them out on Saturday. Limited free parking, but there's also going to be free parking and shuttles from Hamilton Mill Park Park and Ride, which is a mile from the school. So a couple opportunities to see them in the preseason. Unfortunately, not the normal availability to fans, but it'll be back to normal next year. All right, this hour, brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to MarkSpain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. Come back and tell you what's trending here on a hump day. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's going to be a winning culture, and we're here to win football games. At the end of the year, there is only one team that's happy. And Terry mentioned it, but I've only been in that position twice in my career, and I can't wait to go back there again. And I can't wait to do it with you.
Twice more than most, though.
Yep.
That's Raheem Morris, head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, in one of his off-season press conferences talking about what the goal is. And obviously that's the goal for all 32 teams that are starting training camp this week. But we're sitting here at Flyer Branch talking about this one. We'll get a chance to talk to him tomorrow, hopefully, as we kick things off and do our sort of daily interviews with players and coaches and media and all kinds of different stuff. Sajo Patrick in there. Just kind of, they got a new media room,
okay.
Right? A new press conference room. So I saw Joe was just kind of in there sizing it up.
Sizing up everybody.
Just trying to see who's going to sit where and where he needs to go to try to get leverage on D-Led and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
yeah, he was in the corner,
right.
Just kind of eyeballing everybody, which, you know how Joe is.
Yeah, man.
Looking for trouble out there in the media room. But we're here. It is day one. It's check-in day. People show
right.
up today. They're going to do a lot of the they're in, you know, some of the media rooms doing some of the video stuff and all that. And then tomorrow they get on the field and everything begins.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I mean, and like we were talking in the handout with Sticky, like they have the ease in, you know, as far as how to get ready for training camp and everything. But as before, it was just like, let's get it on, you know, and that came through the new collective, because I do remember after the holdout when I was, lockout. And then it was one of the biggest things about the training camp practices. And I still remember my first practice post that.
So you did both,
yes,
right? Like
yes,
you were 2-a-days
yes,
and then lockout. And
yes,
then how many years were you post CBA?
I was two posts.
So you got it.
Yes, two.
That's nice as a veteran.
But it was crazy because, like, we're in San Diego, right? And so I was like, okay, that's it. And you had guys still out there, these young whippersnappers still locking up and cramping up. You're like, dude, do you know what it was like just this time last year before
right,
y'all got all this soft-ass rules? Well,
and people don't know San Diego this time of year is great.
It's perfect.
Like, people think, like, oh, Southern California is really hot. No, San Diego's like 78.
It's perfect,
it's
dude.
Perfect.
That's what I say. It's perfect. And that was the thing about it was when we used to have joint practice, we always had joint practice against the Cowboys. And now, you know, the Cowboys in Oxnard. But for some reason, when we have joint practice with them, it would be in Dallas. And so Texas Heat is like Georgia Heat.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's different.
Yeah. Yeah. The Cowboys, when they came to San Diego, they were like, hell yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, hell no, yeah. Everybody loves man. I mean, same thing, like covering training camp in Seattle for all those years. It's right on the lake.
Right.
You know, it's Seattle in July. It might be 81 on a hot day, but most days it's going to be like 76. You get the little breeze off the lake. It's perfect. I remember the first year we were out here, I was like, good Lord, what in the world?
Now, just imagine.
These guys are going to die.
No, yes. Just imagine having a helmet, shoulder pads, pants, and cleats on. All right, we got
doing it twice a day.
Yeah, we got on shorts. Right. We got on shorts and T-shirts, man.
Yeah, and hitting people for hours. Yes. No, I don't want to imagine that. Yeah. That sounds terrible. I'm not interested in that at all.
Yeah, man.
But we're broadcasting live from Flowery Branch. We're going to be here tomorrow, Friday, tons of days next week. We're here a bunch until the lead up to the season. And like we said, get a chance hopefully to talk to Raheem Morris tomorrow, players, all the good normal access that you've come to expect from 92.9 The Game's coverage of training camp will continue. And it all starts today. Grant McCauley is going to join us in 20 minutes,
right?
Or 15 minutes, actually, because the Braves, now they were going to have an early day today anyway. It was going to be a 12:20 getaway day. Now they got two.
Yes.
Because last night was outrageous. Was it like, how bad was it at your
house? It was bad. But it wasn't, I don't think it was bad as it was over by you.
It was, I don't want to be a prisoner of the moment or whatever, but it might have been the worst storm we've had since we've lived there.
Yeah, I don't think it was.
It rained a foot.
Yeah, it was bad, but it was not as bad. I saw the videos and the floods and everything. It wasn't as bad, that bad, but it was, It went down over there.
Yeah. Me and Lily were in the backyard. I was pushing her on the swing, and I was like, oh, it kind of feels like it might rain a little bit.
Right.
She was like, let's swing for a little bit longer.
Yeah.
We were out there for just five more minutes, and it started to drizzle. And I was like, let's go inside.
Right.
By the time we got into the house to the front to look out the front window, it was just dumping.
Yeah,
and it didn't stop for 3 hours.
Yeah, man. So
I mean, it was outrageous.
You know, we just planted that new grass and everything. So hopefully that was great for it. That was great for our lawn and everything like that. But it was going down. And so hopefully, and I saw the videos and everything of the news with the floods and people have to be rescued and everything. So hopefully people are all right as far as that.
Yeah, no doubt. So one more. Well, I guess he did debut the other night, but we're pretending it didn't happen.
What's that?
Nacho.
Yeah, man.
Nacho's real debut is today.
It's today.
Okay? His family's there.
His family came in from California. They got through all that other stuff. My family, my sister and them, they made it in too also.
Oh, good.
So there was no problem as far as their travel from L.A. to here. But, so his family got to come and everything, and it got postponed. But like you said, it's going to be is this what you call the Nooner game?
No one calls it that.
Businessman special.
Oh, yeah.
So
Nooner's a totally different
thing. Yeah, but I always call it. I always forget the proper term.
Got it.
Yeah, is this what technically a
right? This would be a businessman special.
Okay.
Followed by another one tonight at 6:20.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay. So they moved it up. They moved the night game up.
No, there was no night game. Today was getaway day.
Oh, duh.
Yeah, it was gonna. Okay, it was gonna be. Okay. It was gonna be a 12:20 game.
So this
game
is
anyway.
Technically game three.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And so then tonight will be game two.
Tonight will be game two. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So yeah. So that's what's going on today at Truist.
So which one is Chris Sale pitching?
It's supposed to happen, right? It's actually going to happen today. I don't know. Did they move him to tonight, or is he going to pitch the 12:20 game today? He's what, Sebo? Oh, he's going to pitch the second game.
Okay.
So Chris Sale goes tonight, and like I don't know, they're not particularly good.
No,
so
they're not.
Oh, Alan Winans is starting the first game.
Great.
Okay, so offense, man.
Great.
All right, Nacho and everybody else.
Right now, my thing, my takeaway from the Braves outside of that was the player-only meeting that they had.
That's right.
Which never gets when you start having player-only meetings, that's when you're desperate. Well, this team is kind of desperate.
They should be desperate.
They should be desperate, everything like
100%.
That. And so hopefully it comes. Last time they went on that run, it was Snit in Arizona. You remember that meeting they had and everything? This is a players-only-led meeting. It's like one of those things where, like, when you did, like, when teams, football teams have player-only meetings, most of the time it's a grievance type thing. Like, you're, like, you know, airing it out and stuff like that. Do they do that in baseball? Like, you need to hit the damn ball better.
Because that's the thing.
You know what I'm saying? Or something like that.
I don't know what the message is other than, hey, especially the big name guys.
Right.
Stop sucking at hitting.
And that's what I'm saying. Like,
hey, Matt, it's awkward conversation. Maybe they didn't know and they listened to us yesterday.
Right.
And they were like, wait a minute. he's batting 120 in the last month.
Yeah.
We got to call a meeting and tell Matt Olson to start hitting the baseball. Because, yeah. I don't know. Maybe there's behind-the-scenes stuff going on with a team that we don't know
exactly.
about. Maybe there is grievances. I would have no idea. We can ask Grant about that in 10 minutes. But if it's just about performance, like, there's a reason, well, at least a little bit of a reason, and then there's just guys that aren't playing well.
Right.
But there's a reason why this offense isn't good. It's because it's half not the guys it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have a bunch of really talented all-star level players playing. You have other guys.
Yeah.
You have the next man up.
Yeah.
You have Nacho Alvarez
and sometimes,
playing.
And then you got some of the next man up.
Yeah. Yeah, you have the next man in this lineup. Yes. That's what part of the reason why the lineup's terrible. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Hopefully – maybe it's just a, you know, you get a kick in the backside.
Maybe.
And
like
that
I said,
wakes you up a little
again,
bit.
Like I said, in our particular sport, it was a grievance. Hey, dog, I need you to hustle more, and you got to do this better. We got it as a unit. We got to do this better, all these different things. Well, I mean, if you're, and I always go back to one of our first ever conversations as a show together, the self-evaluation of yourself. You know if you're not playing well. Matt doesn't know he stinks.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? So that's what I'm saying. Like, what would come about from the meeting? Just curious, in baseball, when they have a player-only meeting.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. If they start playing well, then we can be like, oh, it was a players-only meeting.
Right.
If nothing changes, which it probably won't, because I don't think it's an attitude thing. I think it's a dude's thing, unfortunately, right now. Then you just say, well, at least they tried. I don't know. Now, if it was going to happen, if they were going to have a players-only closed-door, try-to-figure-it-out meeting, now's the time.
Yeah.
Because it's been pretty rough. Especially offensively of late. So hopefully today is a new day and everything gets figured out and the players-only meeting solved it. All right, let's hear from Ryan Day, head coach, Ohio State, Big Ten Media Days yesterday.
Now, our guys, they know what the expectation is. You've heard some of them say, you know, what their goals are. We're not going to shy away from that. You know, we want to win the rivalry game, be right in the stadium right here, win this Big Ten championship, win a national championship. We know that. But at the same time, like, that can't be our focus because that's a distraction from where we are right now.
Yeah, I mean, he is –
Okay.
He has – I mean, I saw that they're with Georgia as far as to win the national title and everything. And, I mean, he has a squad. He does. I mean, I think the biggest thing about him is that, you know, Jim Harbaugh is gone. But, you know, it still doesn't matter to me. I mean, this dude – I think he's a hell of a football coach. He has a hell of a football team. And, you know, and I know we were talking about it, and I forgot about this kid Jeremiah Smith they got. That boy – he is a full-fledged – grown-ass man as a freshman.
Yeah, he's
he's a full-fledged grown man and everything.
I mean, Emeka Abuka's still there, too. He's
yes,
really
he is. I think, and you know, Travion Henderson, you know, is he finally going to – because he's been banged up. Is he going to realize that potential? I think he was the number one runner
in the country. He's really good when he's healthy.
They got linemen. They got defensive linemen. I mean, they got everything. They went out and got Caleb Downs, big-time safety. I mean, they got everything. It's going to come down to me, their quarterback.
Yep.
Their quarterback running Chip Kelly's offense.
Yep.
You know, and because we know what that offense, what it was with Marcus Mariota. And was it Mariota? No. Who was it?
Yeah, Mariota was
with Chip.
Mariota was, well, yeah, his first big year. The second year, it was Chip's offense.
Okay.
Chip was gone by then, but it was his offense. Dennis Dixon was there, who was fantastic.
So you got that offense coming in and everything like that. And I heard Ryan Day a little bit of his press when he was talking about the offense and Chip Kelly and doing something.
That's crazy.
Doing something as far as being a head coach and then being able to just focus on that side of the ball and how it might be a lot better for Chip to just be an offensive coach. Because, I mean, his offense is college oriented. It works with it. Now, how much and how fast can this quarterback adapt to it? That's going to be
right. Because that's the thing. That's a big deal. I know you have a big time transfer quarterback in Will Howard, and Chip Kelly is a name that everyone's familiar with.
Right.
And obviously, Ohio State's got a stacked roster. But that's still, even in this day and age, and I think we kind of gloss over this because it's normal and everybody does it. That's still a lot of change. Like that's still a lot of new faces and new places that have to get up to speed in real time and win games.
Yep.
You know, that's a lot of turnover. You know what I mean? Like, that's new offensive coordinator, new quarterback,
how good is Will Howard?
We're going to find out.
Is he good?
He's good.
Because I think he's okay.
I think he's good.
But I always say it like this. Is he Ohio State good?
He
got everything around him and everything like that.
My inclination is no.
Right.
I think he's good, but like he's not CJ Stroud.
Right.
I mean, he's not. I don't think he's one of those guys.
Right.
But I think he's also better than what they had.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you don't have to be a number one draft pick to be a great college quarterback if you have the right pieces around you and the system's good. The other thing is, I don't know, is Chip Kelly's offense still innovative? Like, everybody runs Chip Kelly's offense.
Yeah.
That was 15 years ago.
Yeah, and so, I mean, that's the biggest thing is like that. And then you try and add in these big-time Ohio State skill position players. You got something.
Yeah, you might.
You might.
You might. I'm not convinced that. I think Will Howard's good, and I think it's an upgrade. But I'm just like, I don't know. Like, Chip Kelly was an innovative mind in 2008. Now everybody runs that offense.
Yeah, I think the offense and then...
And people have adapted beyond it
exactly.
as well.
The offense
like, when's the last time Chip Kelly was a meaningful coach at any level?
His methods, too.
Yeah.
The training methods, to all that other crap that he tried to bring to Philadelphia. And he was like, hey,
man. It didn't really work there.
Yeah.
And then he was in San Fran, and that didn't work.
Oh, God.
And then he was at UCLA for a bunch of years.
He went to San Fran.
And they mostly just sucked when he was at UCLA.
He went to San Fran with was that after Tom Sula?
It was either after or before.
Okay.
They had four coaches in 4 years.
You remember when they had Tom Sula?
Yeah, man.
Him and the staff.
It was Harbaugh, and then I think it was Tom Sula, and then I think it was Kelly, and then it was Shanahan.
Okay.
So four coaches in 4 years. Now, they got it right with Shanahan.
Right.
And they got it right with Harbaugh. They just had those couple gap years in the middle.
Tom Sula.
Yeah.
It must have been so many people to turn that job down. It had to be.
It was desperate times.
It had to be.
Because everybody knew. It was like, well, they're going to suck. That's good. And they went from being so good perennially to so bad for a couple of years. All right, Grant McCauley is going to join us next. Doubleheader day for the Atlanta Braves. Everything got rained out last night. We'll get Grant's thoughts on that team-only, players-only meeting yesterday. Get his thoughts on Nacho making his debut. Hopefully we'll call it a real debut tonight. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. Grant McCauley joins us next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Hump Day, broadcasting live from Flower Branch. Falcons training camp underway today. We'll be up here tomorrow, Friday. Raheem Morris likely going to join the show tomorrow. A bunch of other players and guests throughout the next handful of weeks as we get ready for Falcons season. Grant McCauley going to join us in a couple of minutes as well. Talk some Braves as the Braves have a doubleheader today. Last night's game got rained out. I wonder if you have you got a big closed door players only meeting, right? Like people stand up and I'm going to give my speech and I'm going to fire you up and everybody's jacked up after it and then the game gets rained out.
Yeah, man.
Like, does that take the starch out of it just a little bit?
A little bit. But
can the players only meeting last a whole day into the next day?
The funniest thing about player only meeting, there's a couple of things about team sport and, you know, the players only meeting and then when stuff is going wrong, the guy who gives a speech, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that dude, everybody be like, man, sit your ass down.
Right, because, like, not everybody has the cachet to
not everybody has it, you know.
Like a win one for the giver type speech.
Not everybody has it, but that one guy, you're like, man, sit your ass down.
Yeah.
And now the player-only meeting, like, I've been in some that have almost come to fights, you know, and it does. Because, again, it gets personal because that's what it's for. Because if you're a professional athlete, you know if you're not playing well. You know what the problem is, a defense, offense, whatever, whatever. But when it starts getting to an individual, like, you need to pull your weight, oh, yeah. Yeah, even though you know you might be the guy that's playing bad, don't call me out for it.
Yeah, you don't want to get called out in front of the whole team.
Oh, yeah, dog.
I can see the ego liking that.
All
much.
That testosterone in that damn meeting room. Oh, boy, you talking about ready to fight.
Yeah,
like,
but you know what? Maybe that needs to happen.
Then it goes back
maybe
to,
the fight needs to happen.
What if the ass would have did?
Right.
That's blue. I'm talking about ready to fight.
I believe it.
Yeah,
I believe it. Now, look, I have no idea if that's what yesterday's was heated, if it was more calm, what all was discussed, anything like that. All I know is it was the right time for it. It was definitely a good time for them to sit down and say, you know what, guys, we're not playing particularly well. Now, again, I don't know that a conversation is going to change Matt Olson's ability to hit because he just hasn't been able to hit for the last month. I don't know if a conversation is going to make Eddie Rosario and Adam Duvall the players that they were 5 years ago.
Right.
But maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Who knows? The least you could do is try. You know
what I mean? I mean, anything, when you're at a point like this, as far as how your season is, anything is.
You might as well try to spark it somehow.
Yeah, you might as well. I know we were talking about Ohio State and I can't believe we forgot Judkins, the star running back from Ole Miss, is there.
Yeah, Quinshon Judkins
is there.
Transfers to Ohio State. I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, man.
just given everything that's happened this offseason, obviously a lot of focus on their transfer quarterback,
yeah,
Will Howard.
Yeah.
I mean, Quinshon Judkins might have been the best running back in the SEC last year.
In the damn country.
In the whole country.
Well,
last
I mean, the kid from Oklahoma State.
Yeah, Ollie Gordon's
Ollie, good.
And Quinshon was banged up at the beginning of the year last year, so didn't have the numbers that he may have had.
That
but like,
dude is cold blooded, man.
Yeah. Well, and also, like, in a year where Lane Kiffin gets all the transfers in,
he loses them.
Kind of wild to let that guy leave, too.
It's crazy because Rusty sent me something just a second ago, and it's talking about Ohio State's NIL football distribution last year.
Okay.
Was around $20 million. That's what his AD said to Yahoo Sports.
Okay.
Around $20 million last year.
So that was last year's payroll.
Yes. So getting Junkins and Howard knows
Caleb Boyd, Downs.
Caleb Downs. It's damn near 30. It got to be close to damn 25, 30.
Got to be.
Got to be.
Because remember, Ryan Day was the guy that kind of let the cat out of the bag a couple of years ago where he said basically, I need about 15 mil to compete.
Yep.
So last year it was 20. They didn't win the national championship last year. Keep going up. How long did they keep? I mean, that's why one of the many reasons why the seat is so hot this year, because he doesn't get to keep up in the payroll without a national championship.
Right.
Now,
right.
if he wins one, do whatever he wants. So if that's true at Ohio State, if Ohio State started at 15, which Ryan Day kind of gave us a couple years ago. Rusty's given us this that's about 20. Assume it's higher now with all those names, say 25, whatever, conservatively, maybe 30. What's Oregon's? What's
Ooh,
Oregon's NIL? Because, I mean,
man.
Phil Knight said unlimited. Do whatever you need to do. Get all these guys, whatever you need to do to get them, or keep them, essentially. 35?
But I'm okay.
40?
But that's what I'm saying. Who's on the roster right now that gets that kind of bread? Now, we know the names of the guys at Ohio State that's getting all that bread. But then you go back to like, okay, where is that going? So we'll see. We'll get it.
Well, they got that quarterback.
Yeah.
I got that quarterback from Oklahoma, Dylan Gabriel. I don't know how much money he's got.
Well, I mean, Dylan's like 30, so he got a wife of 14 kids.
That's true. He's got a lot of stuff he's got to take care of. All right, Grant McCauley joins us right now to get ready for a Braves doubleheader today. Grant, how are you?
G-Mac.
I'm doing well, guys. Happy to be with you.
Players only meeting yesterday. I mean, I don't know how much we know about what all happened, but I think we understand why meetings like this do happen. What do you know about it, and what do you think may come of it? Or what do you hope?
I mean, I don't know. Well, I think everybody's hoping that this will be a repeat performance of when things were kind of languid in 2022, and then all of a sudden they had a players-only meeting and went on a 14-game winning streak. I mean, that would be nice, obviously, that it would just turn things around and get this club moving. And I think that while I don't know what was said yet, you know, or who were the key speakers or who called it, that kind of thing, I kind of am with a lot of people probably surprised that maybe something like this didn't happen earlier. Maybe it has and we just didn't know about it and the timing of it. Who knows? But, you know, these are things that, and I'm sure Randy can speak to this in a lot more detail than I can. Every once in a while, you just kind of look around, take that inventory and think, man, something's just got to change. And it doesn't have to be anybody's fault. It doesn't have to be, you know, finger pointing and blame or any of that. But just from an accountability standpoint and from a, you know, they still have a goal. And they still have, if the season ended right now today, a seat at the table in October. Now, do you feel great about where they are and how they're trending? Probably not. But they still have that out in front of them, and they have time to get some things right. So maybe the time was finally right to sit down and just have that discussion a little bit more in depth and see if that just can't maybe just kind of stir some things up, get some things moving, maybe just help some guys, you know, mentally reset, recalibrate a little bit, as if the All-Star break wasn't enough for the physical side of that. You know, mentally, I think some guys are carrying around a little bit extra this year than they have in years past.
Grant, yesterday before the game was rained out and we didn't know what was going to happen because we knew that Austin Riley had the baby, so he was going to be on maternity leave. So who was going to be third? Yesterday I saw the lineup where Nacho was playing third. We were thinking somebody else was going to go there. Is this just like no other choice? But, I mean, how does that work out as far as him playing third?
I mean, it's just one of the positions that he can play. And, obviously, the paternity list being what it is just kind of a – they'll work through it briefly, and then he'll be back with the club, I believe, on Thursday when they start the four-game series against the Mets. But, you know, it's just there are other guys that can play that position. He's just played third base more than he's played second, which is a position that he hasn't played since high school. I think they were just putting him over there from a quick comfortability standpoint. But nothing really to read into other than he can play short and third, and he can also obviously play second, which is what they're going to be asking him to do mostly.
Just an unfortunate rash of injuries following what had already been an unfortunate rash of injuries earlier in the season. But what happened on Sunday was just brutal. Do you think any of this stuff gets to a certain point where it kind of adds up to change Anthopoulos' approach at all to the trade deadline?
I think it can, and I think that he's walking that fine line now of, you know, you've got your plan for each season that you're coming into that you want to be hyper-focused on, but you've also got your big-picture plan, and he talked about this a lot at the winter meetings, that, you know, the Braves are committed to the 2024 plan, but they have an eye on what happens beyond that, and clearly when you sign a lot of extensions to keep a core together and hope that you can build around that core, you clearly have a long-term plan. But I've seen just a lot of different discussion about, you know, what they should do, maybe what they shouldn't do. Is it worth it this year? Is it not? I think, and I believe this to be the Braves' stance, anytime that you have the opportunity to get into October, and they are in position to do that right now, mathematically, if nothing else, the stats tell you that, even if emotionally you don't feel as great about their chances or obviously what we've been seeing on the on-field product, you owe it to yourself to pursue that. And I don't see the Braves going in a different direction of that. Now, to what level of trade they're able to pull off, that will obviously depend on the market, depend on who they can line up with, and if they can line up with somebody. But I would be surprised not to see some sort of reinforcements come in to help this club out, to say, hey, we haven't forgot about you. We know we're here, and we need to get there. And to get there, we need a little bit of help. And this is exactly what the mindset was in 2021. I had my mentions blown up about how the Braves needed to trade this guy and that guy and the next guy and reload and rebuild. And they're not rebuilding. They're not going to do that. And I can't imagine that this circumstance is being what they are right now, even though they're not ideal and these injuries have been taking away some of their best players for long periods of time, I still don't think that they're going to have a tonal shift and a mindset change about the opportunity to go to October and see if they can be a team that gets on a run. Because stranger things have happened, not just the 2021 Braves, but stranger things have happened, including both teams that ended up in the World Series last year. Who walked into spring training and said, yep, can't wait to see the Diamondbacks and Rangers meet up in October? Nobody. Nobody had that. And that's what baseball is. Ultimately, when you get to October, you just never know.
Grant, with Max going down and with Ian Anderson, like he's getting closer and closer, and Ozzie going down and things like that. Now, with Ozzie going down, does it change your approach of what you might need to go get as far as maybe an outfielder or even with the starting pitcher, even though Max is coming back and Ian Anderson's getting better?
Yeah, I think, you know, starting pitcher, I was saying, you know, they could make a case for, hey, we've got a good group. Could we make that group better? Then the Max Fried thing happens, and you kind of wonder, do you maybe need to reprioritize? I don't know. I think it could help, and I wouldn't rule it out. And I thought that maybe they'd be after a starter before the Max Fried thing happened. So I can't say that that has really changed altogether that much, other than perhaps what your question is urgency for the starting rotation. Do you need to go and get somebody? I would say the answer to that is probably yes, but will that be the thing that they're able to get done? I don't know. I still feel like the outfield is the one area that needs the most help. If you look at their rankings across Major League Baseball, the Braves have gotten, you know, just some of the worst production in the outfield of anywhere. And pretty much all year long, the best thing you've had out there is Jared Kelnick, who coming into the season was the biggest question mark that you had in the outfield. Now you get Michael Harris back in a couple of weeks, whatever it is. I can't put a timetable on it until he sprints, and hopefully that's happening soon. But there's no Ronald Acuna Jr. that's out there available for trade, and there's no Ronald Acuna Jr. in the farm system that's going to step up and be able to fill that role. But the Braves have been down this road before. So I still think they need to go get some outfield help. You know, Ozzie Albies is going to be out for what looks like a couple of months. If he can find another infielder that maybe has a little bit of upside, it kind of feels like a Whit Merrifield play, only somebody who's maybe having a better season. Maybe you go and do that. But I wouldn't expend a ton of time or effort or resources to try to get long-term fixes for those positions, because in 2025, you get Ozzie Albies back.
Right. Yeah. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Hump Day, broadcasting live from Flowery Branch. Falcons training camp underway today. We'll be up here tomorrow, Friday. Raheem Morris likely going to join the show tomorrow. A bunch of other players and guests throughout the next handful of weeks as we get ready for Falcon season. Grant McCauley going to join us in a couple of minutes as well. Talk some Braves, as the Braves have a doubleheader today. Last night's game got rained out. I wonder if you have like a, you got like a big closed door players only meeting, right? Like people stand up and I'm going to give my speech and I'm going to fire you up and you're, everybody's jacked up after it. And then the game gets rained out.
Yeah, man.
Like, does that take the starch out of it just a little bit?
A little bit. But
like, can the players only meeting last a whole day into the next day?
The funniest thing about player only meeting, there's a couple of things about team sport and, you know, the players only meeting and then the stuff, the when stuff is going wrong, the guy who gives a speech, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that dude, everybody be like, man, sit your ass down.
Right, because, like, not everybody, you know, they, has the
not,
cachet.
Yes,
to
not
give,
everybody has it, you know.
Like a win one for the giver,
yes,
type speech.
Not everybody has it, but that one guy, you're like, man, sit your ass down.
Yeah,
and now the player only meeting, like, I've been in some that have almost come to fights, you know, and it does, because, again, it gets personal because that's what it's for. It's because if you're a professional athlete, you know if you're not playing well. You know what the problem is, a defense, offense, whatever, whatever. But when it starts getting to an individual, like, you need to pull your weight, oh, yeah. Yeah, even though you know you might be the guy that's playing bad, don't call me out for it.
You don't want to get called out in front of the whole team.
Oh, yeah, dog.
Yeah, I can see the ego liking that.
All
much.
That testosterone in that damn meeting room. Oh, boy, you talking about some ready to fight.
Yeah,
like,
but you know what? Maybe that needs
about,
to happen.
Then it goes back
maybe
to,
the fight needs
well,
to happen.
What if the ass would have did?
You know, right.
That's blue. I'm talking about ready to fight.
I believe it.
Yeah,
I believe it. Now, look, I have no idea if that's what yesterday, if yesterday's was heated, if it was more calm, what all was discussed, anything like that. All I know is it was the right time for it. It was definitely a good time for them to sit down and say, you know what, guys, we're not playing particularly well. Now, again, I don't know that a conversation is going to change Matt Olson's ability to hit because he just hasn't been able to hit for the last
month.
I don't know if a conversation is going to make Eddie Rosario and Adam Duvall the players that they were 5 years ago.
Right.
But maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Who knows? The least you could do is try. You know
yeah,
what
man.
Mean?
I mean, anything, when you're at a point like this, as far as how your season is, anything is.
You might as well try to spark it somehow.
Yeah, you might as well. I know we were talking about Ohio State, and I can't believe we forgot Judkins, the star running back from Ole Miss, is there.
Yeah, Quinshon Judkins
is there.
Transfers to Ohio State. I totally forgot about
that.
Yeah,
man.
Just given everything that's happened this offseason, obviously a lot of focus on their transfer quarterback, Will Howard.
Yeah.
I mean, Quinshon Judkins might have been the best running back in the SEC last year.
In the damn country.
In the whole country.
Well,
last
I mean, the kid from Oklahoma State.
Yeah, Ollie Gordon's
Ollie,
good.
But,
and Quinshon was banged up at the beginning of the year last year, so
dude,
didn't have the numbers that he may have had.
That
but like,
dude is cold blooded, man.
Yeah. Well, and also, like, in a year where Lane Kiffin gets all the transfers in,
he loses them.
Kind of wild to let that guy leave, too.
It's crazy because Rusty sent me something just a second ago, and it's talking about Ohio State's NIL football distribution last year.
Okay.
Was around $20 million. That's what his AD said to Yahoo Sports.
Okay.
Around $20 million last year.
So that was last year's payroll.
Yes. So getting Junkins and Howard Noseboy.
Caleb Downs.
It's damn near 30. It got to be close to damn 25, 30.
Got
to
be.
Got to be.
Because remember, Ryan Day was the guy that kind of let the cat out of the bag a couple of years ago where he said basically, I need about 15 mil. To compete.
Yep.
So last year it was 20. They didn't win the national championship last year.
Keep
going up. How long did they keep? I mean, that's why, one of the many reasons why the seat is so hot this year, because he doesn't get to keep up in the payroll without a national championship.
Right.
Now,
right.
If he wins one, do whatever he wants. So if that's true at Ohio State, if Ohio State started at 15, which Ryan Day kind of gave us a couple years ago, Rusty's given us this, that's about 20. Assume it's higher now with all those names, say 25, whatever, conservatively, maybe 30. What's Oregon's? What's
ooh,
Oregon's NIL? Because, I mean,
man.
Phil Knight said unlimited. Do whatever you need to do. Get all these guys, whatever you need to do to get them, or keep them, essentially. 35?
But I'm okay.
40?
But that's what I'm saying. Who's on the roster right now that gets that kind of bread? Now, we know the names of the guys at Ohio State that's getting all that bread. But then you go back to like, okay, where is that going? So we'll see. We'll get it.
Well, they got that quarterback.
Yeah.
They got that quarterback from Oklahoma, Dylan Gabriel. I don't know how much money he's got.
Well, I mean, Dylan's like 30, so he got a wife and 14 kids.
That's true. He's got a lot of stuff he's got to take care of. All right, Grant McCauley joins us right now to get ready for a Braves doubleheader today. Grant, how are you?
G-Mac.
I'm doing well, guys. Happy to be with you.
Players only meeting yesterday. I mean, I don't know how much we know about what all happened, but I think we understand why meetings like this do happen. What do you know about it, and what do you think may come of it, or what do you hope?
I mean, I don't know
Well, I think everybody's hoping that this will be a repeat performance of when things were kind of languid in 2022, and then all of a sudden they had a players-only meeting and went on a 14-game winning streak. I mean, that would be nice, obviously, that it would just turn things around and get this club moving. And I think that while I don't know what was said yet, you know, or who were the key speakers or who called it, that kind of thing, I kind of am with a lot of people probably surprised that maybe something like this didn't happen earlier. Maybe it has, and we just didn't know about it and the timing of it. Who knows? But, you know, these are things that, and I'm sure Randy can speak to this in a lot more detail than I can. Every once in a while, you just kind of look around, take that inventory and think, man, something's just got to change. And it doesn't have to be anybody's fault. It doesn't have to be, you know, finger pointing and blame or any of that, but just from an accountability standpoint and from a, you know, they still have a goal. And they still have, if the season ended right now today, a seat at the table in October. Now, do you feel great about where they are and how they're trending? Probably not. But they still have that out in front of them, and they have time to get some things right. So maybe the time was finally right to sit down and just have that discussion a little bit more in depth and see if that just can't maybe just kind of stir some things up, get some things moving, maybe just help some guys, you know, mentally reset, recalibrate a little bit, as if the All-Star break wasn't enough for the physical side of that. You know, mentally, I think some guys are carrying around a little bit extra this year than they have in years past.
Grant, yesterday before the game was rained out, and we didn't know what was going to happen because we knew that Austin Riley had the baby, so he was going to be on maternity leave, so who was going to be third? Yesterday, I saw the lineup where Nacho was playing third. We were thinking somebody else was going to go there. Is this like no other choice? But, I mean, how does that work out as far as him playing third?
It's just one of the positions that he can play, and obviously the paternity list being what it is just kind of a – they'll work through it briefly, and then he'll be back with the club, I believe, on Thursday when they start the four-game series against the Mets. But, you know, it's just – there are other guys that can play that position. He's just played third base more than he's played second, which is a position that he hasn't played since high school. I think they were just putting him over there from a quick comfortability standpoint, but nothing really to read into other than he can play – short and third, and he can also obviously play second, which is what they're going to be asking him to do mostly.
Just an unfortunate rash of injuries following what had already been an unfortunate rash of injuries earlier in the season, but what happened on Sunday was just brutal. Do you think any of this stuff gets to a certain point where it kind of adds up to change Anthopoulos' approach at all to the trade deadline?
I think it can, and I think that he's walking that fine line now of, you know, you've got your plan for each season that you're coming into that you want to be hyper-focused on, but you've also got your big-picture plan, and he talked about this a lot at the winter meetings that, you know, the Braves are committed to the 2024 plan, but they have an eye on what happens beyond that, and clearly when you sign a lot of extensions to keep a core together and hope that you can build around that core, you clearly have a long-term plan, but I've seen just a lot of different discussion about, you know, what they should do, maybe what they shouldn't do. Is it worth it this year? Is it not? I think, and I believe this to be the Braves' stance, anytime that you have the opportunity to get into October, and they are in position to do that right now, mathematically, if nothing else, the stats tell you that, even if emotionally you don't feel as great about their chances or obviously what we've been seeing on the on-field product, you owe it to yourself to pursue that. And I don't see the Braves going in a different direction of that. Now, to what level of trade they're able to pull off, that will obviously depend on the market, depend on who they can line up with, and if they can line up with somebody. But I would be surprised not to see some sort of reinforcements come in to help this club out, to say, hey, we haven't forgot about you. We know we're here, and we need to get there. And to get there, we need a little bit of help. And this is exactly what the mindset was in 2021. I had my mentions blown up about how the Braves needed to trade this guy and that guy and the next guy and reload and rebuild. And they're not rebuilding. They're not going to do that. And I can't imagine that this circumstance is being what they are right now, even though they're not ideal and these injuries have been taking away some of their best players for long periods of time, I still don't think that they're going to have a tonal shift and a mindset change about the opportunity to go to October and see if they can be a team that gets on a run. Because stranger things have happened, not just the 2021 Braves, but stranger things have happened, including both teams that ended up in the World Series last year. Who walked into spring training and said, yep, can't wait to see the Diamondbacks and Rangers meet up in October? Nobody. Nobody had that. And that's what baseball is. Ultimately, when you get to October, you just never know.
Grant, with Max going down and with Ian Anderson, like he's getting closer and closer, and Ozzie going down and things like that. Now, with Ozzie going down, does it change your approach of what you might need to go get as far as maybe an outfielder or even with the starting pitcher, even though Max is coming back and Ian Anderson's getting better?
Yeah, I think, you know, starting pitcher, I was saying, you know, they could make a case for, hey, we've got a good group. Can we make that group better? Then the Max Fried thing happens, and you kind of wonder, do you maybe need to reprioritize? I don't know. I think it could help, and I wouldn't rule it out. And I thought that maybe they'd be after a starter before the Max Fried thing happened. So I can't say that that has really changed altogether that much, other than perhaps what your question is urgency for the starting rotation. Do you need to go and get somebody? I would say the answer to that is probably yes, but will that be the thing that they're able to get done? I don't know. I still feel like the outfield is the one area that needs the most help. If you look at their rankings across Major League Baseball, the Braves have gotten, you know, just some of the worst production in the outfield of anywhere. And pretty much all year long, the best thing you've had out there is Jared Kelnick, who coming into the season was the biggest question mark that you had in the outfield. Now you get Michael Harris back in a couple of weeks, whatever it is. I can't put a timetable on it until he sprints, and hopefully that's happening soon. But there's no Ronald Acuna Jr. that's out there available for trade, and there's no Ronald Acuna Jr. in the farm system that's going to step up and be able to fill that role. But the Braves have been down this road before, so I still think they need to go get some outfield help. You know, Ozzie Albies is going to be out for what looks like a couple of months. If you can find another infielder that maybe has a little bit of upside, you know, it kind of feels like a Whit Merrifield play, only somebody who's maybe having a better season. Maybe you go and do that, but I wouldn't expend a ton of time or effort or resources to try to get long-term fixes for those positions, because in 2025, you get Ozzie Albies back, yet your starting outfield is already in place. So what can you do as a GM? I think that's the question. I circled Randy Arozarena on a list of guys that I think could make sense here. I don't know if that's a trade the Braves will be able to pull off. The Rays haven't decided that they're selling for sure. They're still kind of mathematically bouncing around on that edge of contention. In the American League, though, it's a tough climb. Could that be a guy that's out there? He'd make some sense for me. And he's got some energy and some fire and some passion and all those things people want to see. Oh, and he hits home runs, too, which could obviously help the club out. And he's been playing pretty well for the last month. So that's a name that's just kind of been bouncing around to me lately.
And cool name.
Yeah, man.
Randy. Very much. Yeah.
Great name.
Well,
Randy. Part. Also fun. Grant, thank you. We appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Grant.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Take care.
Grant McCauley there, 92.9 The Game, Atlanta Braves insider, host of From the Diamond every single weekend here on the radio station. As always, brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer from Mark Spain Real Estate, 855-299-SOLD. A pretty big, like, 5 days for the Braves right now. Obviously, the trade deadline's right around the corner. Doubleheader today, and then the Mets for four. That goes bad. You're in third place, and the Mets are in front of you.
Damn.
Like, that's how close the Mets are to you right now. They're only 2.5 games back.
Am I studying the Mets, them dudes?
Yep. I mean, good. I hope that they should have you in the players-only meeting and let you say stuff like that to them. Because hopefully they go up there and hit the baseball, because the Mets are doing pretty good. 7-3 in their last 10. Been playing pretty well the last month or so. Hopefully, it's funny, it seems like the Mets series always end up coming around at, like, pivotal moments of the season, right?
Yep.
It's always like, all right, where are you at right now? Well, here come the Mets. We'll find out. Either you're going to kind of make it or break it. But yeah, an important week to be sure. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to an NFL No Huddle to kick off the noon hour. Thanks for being with us. Broadcasting live from Flowery Branch. Falcons training camp underway today. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts.